So here we are. It's the first Sunday of Lent. And as I had kind of alluded to at the beginning of Mass, it's the chance for us to kind of settle in. I remember there was a priest who had instructed us down at our seminary. It's called the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C., and he's a scripture scholar, Father Stephen. And he said, so if your Lent hasn't started off too well, don't worry about it. We've got a long way to go. And that's true. We do. Now, I know time passes by, although I say this a lot. There's one place where time slows down and stops. That's the hospital. I will say that. And especially ICU. Time disappears. It's the only place in the world where time disappears. But time does stop in the hospital. And that's why the nurses and many people work long 12-hour shifts. So you just have a couple of long days and then you get your days off. So that being said, we do have time to enter into Lent. Now, of course, Jesus went out for 40 days and he fasted and he was hungry. I like this. It says, and afterwards he was hungry, of course, because Jesus was fully human. There was no drive-through or no Starbucks or no fast processed foods. Good for him. You know, maybe Jesus had something healthy and organic. It was all farm made. There were no chemicals back then. So that being said, by the way, on a quick side note, yeah, it's a total digression, but actuality, if you read scripture, before the flood of Noah, we were vegans. Human beings were vegans. We didn't eat meat, believe it or not. It wasn't until after the flood of Noah that we began to eat meat. And then if you read it in scripture, all the plants to serve man's needs. That's why it's very interesting to see how people are having great success with type 2 diabetes, heart disease, obesity. I can eat more vegetables. By eating vegetables, they're doing really, really well. So I'm fascinated to see if we go back to the source because we've corrupted our food system so badly in the last 80 years, really. All right, that's a story for another time. Yeah. And it's a Sunday. A lot of people take off from their penances, so go have some processed foods. I will today. So that being said, that was a bad digression. I'm sorry, folks. We'll get back to the homily here. Jesus was fully tempted in the desert, just like you and I. Jesus is fully human. Now, he doesn't sin. He doesn't sin. I'll tell you something. He can't sin. He's God. And, of course, Mary couldn't sin because she was sinless. She was immaculately conceived. She didn't have the original fall that we all have since Adam and Eve and the bite of that apple. I'll tell you something funny. Quite often in the hospital, we obviously as priests, we are giving the sacraments out a lot. We are hearing people's confessions, giving anointing of the sick. Occasionally we're baptizing someone or giving confirmation. Of course, Holy Communion as well. But it's interesting when I'll meet somebody. It's usually someone maybe in their 50s, 60s, 70s. And they'll say, we'll have the anointing of the sick, right? It's one of the seven sacraments. It used to be called Last Rites, Extreme Unction. There comes a time where we get our final prayers. But in the meantime, over the last 50 years or so, the church has said, no, let's anoint people as they're sick. Let's give them strength of soul through that sacrament so someone can get anointed any time now. And a lot of my work is just actually what we'd call catechizing patients that you can be anointed any time. So that being said, we start with a quick confession usually. So I'll start with a person. All right, we're going to have a quick confession. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. And how long has it been? Oh, it's been 20 years. Oh, okay, it's been a while since you've been to confession. It's like not going to the doctor for 20 years. That's another homily. We'll get into that as Lent goes on. Because every Lent should have a good confession. Every Lent needs to have a good confession. But that being said, so I'll say, okay, well, what bothers you on your conscience? What's, you know, on your conscience? And they'll say, Listen, only Jesus and Mary were the two perfect people. Everybody else sins. So what do you got? And then by the time you get to like the third commandment, have you kept holy the Sabbath? Yeah, they missed Mass on Sunday. So they went fishing. They went to Target instead of going to church, or they slept in too late. So none of us are without sin. Oh, the other one funny thing, too, is sometimes there'll be family around the sick individual. And usually it's like a guy who says it for some reason. Let's say it's his elder aunt or mother. You know, maybe she's in her 80s and she's sick here. And I say, hey, I just need 2 minutes alone with your mother. We're going to have a quick confession. But then come back in for the anointing of the sick. Oh, Father, she doesn't have any sins. I was like, oh, yes, she does. Come on, out of the room. And sure enough, the family leaves, you know. Believe me, I have sins too. We all sin. We sin. It's unfortunately, if Adam and Eve hadn't bit the apple, we wouldn't be here. But good news. There's always good news. Yes, we do suffer from temptations. And again, temptations are different than actually committing the sin. I want to make that very clear. But Christ said, okay, you guys have sinned. I'm going to come save you. I'm going to go become one of you. I'm going to suffer everything you did. Yes, if the coronavirus was around when Jesus was walking the earth, he could have gotten it. That's true, you know? And he probably had shares of flus and cold, whatever was going around the Middle East back then. And yet, he suffered so that we then could now, for 2,000 years, have our sufferings, our temptations, our struggles, our difficulties united closely to God, because God wanted to become one of us. He loved us so much. And going back to the bite of the apple in the first reading, he knew we were going to sin from all time and eternity because he had to create us so free. Human beings are not robots. You know, dogs will do what dogs do. It's like God bless those two lion tamers out in Vegas, you know, who had the show for years, right? But then eventually one of them got bit and mauled by a lion. Oh, God bless you. They're lions. This is what they do. They maul and eat things, you know, even if you've been petting them and raising them on your palatial farm in Vegas for, you know, 30 years. The lions, they act according to their nature. They're not free animals. We are. We are. We have the freedom to love or to sin. We have the freedom to say yes or no. And unfortunately, we're going to have this temptation throughout our whole life. And Lent will be a temptation. You'll notice that probably on Ash Wednesday, if you did fast, as you should, and you were the proper age, all of a sudden at 3 o'clock you were ravenous. And you're never ravenous at 3 o'clock, but you were. But that's the power we have. We have the power by God's grace to overcome temptations. We have the power to call on Jesus' name and say, Lord, I'm tempted to gossip about my coworker. I'm tempted to complain about the relative that has not called or seen me for 6 months, and I've been in this hospital for one of those 6 months. I'm tempted to, you know, just let all my appetites go and indulge in sins of the flesh. But we have the power, by God's grace, to call upon his name and to ask him to strengthen us in our temptations. And he will. He will. But then here's the best news of all. And Adam and Eve didn't have this, but we do. When we fall and we lack that turning to God and we turn back from him, we turn our backs on him, then we can get up again through his mercy. And that's why we're wearing purple. That's where we're realizing this is a great season of mercy. Lent is a great season of mercy. To go back and say, I'm sorry. To say, yes, I'm a sinner. To meet the Lord in the sacrament of confession. To stay close to him in prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, the three great pillars of Lent. And I encourage you to fast as well, maybe on some other days. I try to do it myself. It's kind of working. And then we know that we have great hope. We have great hope throughout Lent. And we can take our time and settle in.